Good morning, Opera New York. Oh, you can do a little better than that. Good morning, Opera New York.
Good morning.
Hallelujah. Friends, I am Hector Burgos Nunez, and it is my absolute honor to serve you, United Methodist of Opera New York, as your resident bishop. I greet you all in the name of our Savior and friend, Jesus Christ. And I welcome you to the 14th session of the Opera New York Annual Conference, whether you are here in person in Syracuse or joining us online through the live stream. You know, after 4 long years of being physically separated due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we are back together in person today. Can I hear an hallelujah? Friends, it is so good when the people of God come together to worship. It brings me great joy to be in your presence, to see your faces, to hear your voices. Again, I want to thank you all for offering my family and me radical expressions of hospitality as we continue transitioning into doing life and ministry together with you. I'm glad today that my wife Giselle is able to join us. Please greet her Upper New York style. Jacelis and our daughter Valeria will move up later in July, and there will be plenty of opportunities for you to get to know them better and also to get to know our 3 sons, Fabian, Joel, and Marcos. I welcome Bishop Cynthia Moore Kokoi, who will be joining us later today, resident bishop of the Western Pennsylvania and Susquehanna conferences. She will be with us for most of our 3-day session. You will hear from her tomorrow night during the commissioning and ordination service. And she will also be assisting me as I preside over my first annual conference. So I'm glad that she's here to clean the messes that I will create. I'm deeply thankful for her friendship and for her apostolic leadership. Friends, let us join our hearts in prayer. God of all, we praise your holy name and thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We rejoice for the blessing of coming together as your people to witness our faith freely and publicly and celebrate the grace that is and love that is constantly flowing from you to the world. As we gather in person for the first time in 4 years, we bring gratitude for your faithful provision and also the brokenness of 4 difficult years. Receive our thanksgiving. Heal and restore us. Through your word today, strengthen us for the journey ahead. God, now we ask that you open our minds and hearts so that as we open the scriptures, we are both inspired and challenged as followers of Jesus and servant leaders in your church. In your graceful name, we pray, 3-in-1 God. Amen. Well, friends, as many of you may have already heard, my children, they love sports. And for the past 20 years, it's been our joy for Jacelis and me to journey alongside them as they engage in different sports and teams. Baseball, basketball, street hockey, volleyball, ping pong, horseback riding, disc golf, and soccer, just to name a few of the sports our kids have engaged over the years. You know, something that I love about children engaging in team sports early is that it helps them develop physically and socially, and It also helps build their character and provide them with many important life lessons that they can carry with them through their life. And before I go any further in my message, let me make a parenthesis here to share something that I lift up every time I bring up sports in a message. Friends, please do not stone me. But we need to hear that youth sports are not a problem. Youth sports are not a problem. They are not an enemy of the church. Raising our children in faith and participating in extracurricular activities such as sports is possible. Yet, it can be complicated. I understand that. But I know that with intentionality, with discipline, and flexibility, our children can grow to be active disciples and engage the world in healthy ways. Can I hear an amen? Amen. I had to get that out of my chest. So back to the message. The most popular sport in our household is soccer. All of our children have played it, and our son, Joel, plays it professionally in Belize. As for most team sport, in soccer, two values are prioritized, celebrated, and lifted as essential for a team to be successful: unity and diversity. Unity and diversity. You know, I still remember when one of Wells' coaches pumping up the team before an important game said to them, "Kids, we will do well in the game if we play it together. If we go out to the field as one and we leverage the gifts and the skills that every player has." And then he continued and says, "There is no space for lone rangers or superstars in our team. We are one, each with a different role, but all important for and playing for the same outcome." You know, the theme for this annual conference session is together. And when thinking and praying about a theme for our gathering, we wanted not only to highlight the fact that we are coming back together in person, but also, given all that's happening in the world, all that's happening in our denomination, we felt that it was important to lift the value of our togetherness in Christ as the church and as United Methodists. Talking about togetherness is not easy these days. Would you agree with me? You know, in a way that perhaps many of us never anticipated, our society has become polarized over many issues that are dividing our communities, our nation, and even the world. Sadly, these polarizations and divisions have reached the church and even our beloved denomination. We're divided over several issues. Our witness is weakened. I'm losing my notes because of our disagreements and our divisions. And our fellowship and our communities are fractured. You know, the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth helps us see that conversations about togetherness, about unity and diversity are not new within the body of Christ. The church in Corinth was divided over spiritual gifts. The tensions were such that Paul spent three whole chapters addressing their divisions. And through his writings, we can find holy wisdom that can help us strengthen ourselves as the body of Christ as United Methodists and as a member of God's team. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, you are a member of God's team. Come on, tell the person next to you, you are members of God's team. Cabinet, you are members of God's team. Friends, we are members of God's team. You know, and one of the most significant challenges that we face when reflecting on our togetherness in the church is that many times we approach it with an either or an all or nothing mentality. We value unity, we value diversity, but many times we struggle to bring them together and to balance them in our journey as a faith community. So in today's text, the Apostle Paul offers a different approach, a both and approach, when he urges the church to celebrate both unity and diversity, not just unity and not just diversity, but unity and diversity. And as many Bible scholars assert, to help us understand the importance of unity and diversity, Paul compared the church to the human body, which, as we all know, is a unified organism made up of many different parts that are connected and working in harmony with each other for the well-being of the entire body. Siblings, unity in the church is essential to our togetherness and witness to the world. Let me say that again. Unity in the church is essential to our togetherness and our witness to the world. The church is like the human body. It's a living organism with each one through Christ being members of the body of Christ. You know, we don't get to determine who is part and who is not part of Christ, not us. It's who God, Christ is who brings us together into this holy fellowship so that we can do our living together. So that we can do our witness together. So that we can be a reflection of the perfect love of God in Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Church, our diversity is also essential to our togetherness and witness to the world. You see, Paul celebrated the unity of the body, and he also celebrated the diversity that exists within us. Paul said there are many parts, yet one body. He celebrated unity, and he celebrated diversity. Upper New York, unity is good. Can I hear an amen? Amen? Upper New York, diversity is good. Can I hear an amen? Amen? And they are both essential to our witness and ministry as followers of Jesus and as a United Methodist. If unity is emphasized at the expense of diversity, we have uniformity, and that is not good. If diversity is emphasized at the expense of unity, we have anarchy. That is not good either. We need to celebrate unity and diversity in all its expressions. You know, the world wants unity for the sake of unity. And the world wants diversity for the sake of diversity. But God wants unity and diversity for God's glory and to bring hope to the world. Amen. Upper New York, God's vision for us is to live the gospel of Jesus Christ and be God's love with our neighbors in all places. And as my son's coach said to his team, we will do well in the game if we play it together. if we go out to the mission field as one and leverage the beauty and the gifts we each bring to the game. There is no space for lone rangers or superstars in this team. We are one, each perfectly made in the image of our Creator, with different gifts, experiences, and perspectives to offer. Perhaps invited into different roles within the body, but still we are all playing for the same outcome: to bring glory to the name of God and to share the hope of Christ with as many people as possible. Hallelujah. You know, in our short time together, I have been blessed to journey alongside of you. I have witnessed firsthand how you live into this way of being the church. The Auburn New York Conference is a strong network of congregations comprised of more than 125,000 members who are living out their faith the Wesleyan way. As United Methodists in Auburn New York, we are united in Christ and in purpose, living the gospel and sharing Christ with our neighbors in all places. We are planting new faith communities that engage new and different people. Friends, we are helping people experiencing poverty and hunger through food pantries and clothes closets. We are responding to natural disasters locally and throughout the region, bringing hope to those in need. We are working to eradicate the sins of racism, sexism, and exclusion from the church and society. Together, we empower a new generation of disciples and spiritual leaders and support life-giving initiatives through our global missions and so much more. That is what unity looks like. Can I hear an amen? That's you, Upper New York, living in unity. But Upper New York is also blessed with rich diversity. On any given Sunday, United Methodists in Upper New York worship the risen Christ in more than 10 languages, in various formats and styles. Friends, led by the Holy Spirit, some as small as 10 active members in our congregations and others as large as 2,000 members, we are faithfully serving rural towns, inner cities, and urban spaces, and even villages. We're also blessed with a rich theological diversity that includes conservatives, evangelicals, centrists, and progressives, all beloved children of God. That's what diversity looks like in the body of Christ, and you embody it. Friends, diversity is not a problem. It's a gift from God for us to celebrate. In a world that is filled with polarization, divisions, lone rangers, and folks trying to be superstars, in a time when some are trying to put God's all-inclusive grace in a box, in a season that church disaffiliations threatens our fellowship as United Methodists, God is inviting us to stand as a witness of unity and diversity. God is calling us to be together and remain focused on what is most important, which is loving God and loving our neighbors, encouraging one another to thrive in life and ministry. And how do we do this? How do we live in diversity? How do we live in unity? I'm going to offer some suggestions. First, if we really want to be a unified and diverse body, Friends, we need to keep Christ at the center of our individual and communal expression of faith and claim Christ as the perfect source of our unity. Nothing else, no one else will do it. Our theology on human sexuality is not the glue that keeps us together. What we think about gun control is not what keeps us together. Our ideas on social economic issues are not the key ingredients to our unity. Christ is the source of our faith and hope. Can I hear an amen? Second, as Paul clarified to the church in Corinth, we need to stop questioning who belongs to the body or who is more valuable. Friends, if someone is in Christ, they are part of the body, period. We are all baptized into the same faith in Jesus Christ, and we are all sealed and empowered by the same Holy Spirit to live Christ's way, end of debate. Can we just agree that whoever Christ welcomes, we welcome into the body? Third, if we are to live in unity, we need to honor our diversity in all of its forms as a gift from God. We need to acknowledge that while we are on the same journey, we might be at different places. Trusting that God meets everyone where they are and carries them with grace and love, even when we might disagree on some matters. Fourth, friends, we pursue the good of the entire body, not just our own personal well-being, and we also pursue God's vision to bring hope and reconciliation to all people. And lastly, if we want to really be a unified, diverse body, we commit to doing no harm to one another, to do good, and to grow together in our inward and outward expressions of our love for God and one another. Is this an easy task? No. Is this an easy way of living the gospel? No. Is this a comfortable way of being in relationship with one another and sharing God's love with our neighbors? Perhaps no, but it is a more excellent way. It is the way of Christ. So, as we begin this journey, I want to invite us now to center our hearts in prayer and converse with the Holy Spirit. So close your eyes. For a moment is a time with you and God. And allow the Holy Spirit to join you in that space where it's only you and God. What if we first confess the times that we've been thinking about our togetherness with an either-or mentality and ask God to open us to the possibility of embracing a both-and approach to our togetherness so that we can live in unity and diversity. And now I invite you to think about one way you can live and promote togetherness in Upper New York. One way that you can live and promote togetherness in Upper New York that lives both our unity and our diversity. Jesus, praying for all his disciples and those who would believe in the future, which is us, pray, I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. On another occasion, encouraging his disciples, Jesus told them, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So, United Methodists of Upper New York, please know that we are better and stronger together, even if sometimes it's complicated or messy. This season, God is inviting us to live in a reality of togetherness, where unity and diversity are valued and celebrated so that our communities, so that the world may experience Christ's hope and healing love through us. We are all members of God's team, not because we earned it, but by grace. Friends, and may this vision of unity in our diversity inspire, encourage, and energize us for the journey, all for the glory of God. And God's people say, Amen.